to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
And a pleasant good afternoon and welcome to the Zone Show on a Friday afternoon. We're here live at the Fieldhouse Restaurant, Copper and Maple. This place... Nick, it's Nick Anderson along with the Pag Meter. This place starts slow, and by 5 o'clock, 5:36, forget about it. Sellout crowd, packed in here.
Well, you know, right now, you're right. And last week, we started a little bit early. We had the Fresno State Bulldogs playing baseball, so we fired up around 3:30. So we got here a little earlier than we are now. But you're absolutely right. It's a perfect hub for that to start the weekend. You've got all sorts of families that roll in here. After baseball games, which is your favorite time of year.
If it ever stops raining.
Well, regardless of what's going on, rain's always good in the San Joaquin Valley. But anyway, we still got games in between the storms. And so you see soccer teams coming in. You see some of the high schools.
High school swimming
teams and all sorts of fun stuff. And there's a lot of adults coming in here right now. Right now I see all the adults at the bar, and they're enjoying, there's two or three of them enjoying a 940 cocktail, which is on special right now here. So that would be considered a whiskey sour, Nick.
So you just ask for the 940 special, and they'll take care of you.
They're going to give you a special price on that 940 sour, and they make that specifically here and only here. So you get to come here and enjoy that beverage.
So let's talk about the sun is out today. It's supposed to be sunny, maybe a chance of rain on a Tuesday. So that's great, good news maybe for baseball and softball teams. I've never seen so many rainouts and postponements in my life. But if you're a Helena Agro Enterprises LLC grower out there, as we watch all this beautiful, fantastic, I was up in Sacramento and I got to watch it, but it's all the beautiful rainwater heading right to the ocean about 38 miles an hour. So, but what can you do for the farmers now? Is there going to be a drought in July because we can't hold this water?
No, they're actually delivering water. My understanding is delivering water out to the west side, and what they'll do with that water is they'll put it on a lot of open ground. That'll help recharge the system. So, yeah, we are losing water. There's no doubt about that, but they do have some delivery methods. It doesn't necessarily go right into the crops that are planted right now. You can irrigate, but obviously you don't need to irrigate at this point for the most part. But any open ground out there, what that does is that they'll open up those valves and they'll just let that water go out there. And then that serves a big purpose in both of recharging the aquifers, but also to disperse salt, Nick, because salt is built up over time. And the saltier the ground, the tougher it is to farm. So it'll help remedy a few things. And it's always nice to have excessive water. And sure, we'd like to hold on to most of it. But I think that's a good thing, being able to at least get some of that on that open ground out there.
Fantastic, and that number is 559-261-9030. If you're a farmer, give Helena Agro Enterprises a call. The sun's out. You're going to need that tree. Is like, come on, I need some vitamins. I need some minerals. What do I need to do? They're just yelling to the farmer.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, finding the right fertilizer product that will actually convert and be available for your plant right now is the best thing you have going for you. I was over on the Central Coast and to the Central Coast, meaning I was up towards Salinas, and I was looking at some crops up there, and there were some ones that stood out to me. So I happened to be having lunch, and I chatted with a grower or two that was there that happened to be farming that area, and he had put on some products that were more available. Phosphate's a big deal this time of year to keep that root system, especially on transplants over there on the coast, and the coast can hear us. Shout out to the coast right now, because they are part of 940 and that 50,000 watt blowtorch that we transmit from, Nick. So anyway, he mentioned a product called OFOS. OFOS is an orthophosphate product that will become very available to the plant very quickly, enable the plant to pull that up, and it helps the root systems get through adverse conditions such as cold soil temperatures or severe moisture.
Well, I was out in Sacramento, like I said, Monday and Tuesday, and Sacramento loves the Zone show. They listen to us. They like the local affair. And they're jealous that we're not talking more about Sacramento. But speaking of Sacramento, we got some updates in basketball. Final score, we're 2-1. We're 2-1 right now in the state playoffs for high school basketball. McFarland just got beat by Oakland, 51-35, in a Division III state championship game. So congratulations to the McFarland Cougars. Fantastic year. They did one heck of a job. But they faced a team from Oakland that easily could have played Division One and Two. The other games we started this morning, and congratulations to the Carruthers Blue Raiders, Division Five state champs on the girls' side. They beat Ramona 62-38, and we're going to have Coach on in a little while, Anna Almedia, and we're going to talk to her. And they're really, Nick, they're 2 years before the schedule. They weren't expecting to be this good yet. Carruthers has got it going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, you've always said that about that small-town flair. That small-town flair, sometimes people kind of overlook those areas, you know, in terms of talent and support and all the things that go along with that. We always have a tendency to talk about what's hot and what's moving, and it always seems to fall into a Division I type of school or the higher level, let's say. But you're right. I mean, watching Carruthers play a little bit, and my understanding is they actually, and McFarland was another one, we'll talk about that in a second, but they actually shut the school down in McFarland, like you would hear about a Texas school.
Hoosiers.
You know, something like that, to where you got all these signs going on in the windows and they're saying, hey, close, we're gone to the game. You know, Friday Night Lights, for example, comes to mind, those small town. And at Carruthers, they also had, a big screen type of a jumbotron in the gym. Yeah, so they got the students involved. That is cool. That is support. That's high school athletics at its best, and it's fun to see. Carruthers is a strong program, whether it be their football successes of recent, Nick.
Baseball is really good. Soccer, they're all good out there.
Boys basketball, you know, last couple of years have been good. I think they made it to the Valley Championships a year ago. And, you know, my good buddy of mine, Johnny Hines, was coach down there for a couple of years, and Johnny's a good guy, and he always had so many good things to say about Carruthers. So shout out to Carruthers. Way to rep the Valley. A strong program. They've got some individuals on that team, Nick. I, you know, talking to you and learning a little bit about some of the things that you do on the side in terms of reaching out and gathering local intel. They've got some kids on that team that are being recruited by some big schools. So it takes grab onto that for a second. We don't always got to be talking about these higher Division One teams. We've got some pretty good talent down at the lower divisions as well, and that's fun to see.
Yeah, I was impressed with they pretty much just took it to Ramona. The Rams came in with a tremendous record, and Carruthers, and I think maybe playing at Selden Arena got them ready for that big arena, because Ramona looked like a fish out of water, and Carruthers put that that full court pressing defense, and Ramona was struggling to get the ball past half court, and next thing you know, it's a bloodbath. Final score, it looks better than it is, but it was off the charts, 62-38, and I think Ramona was lucky to get 38, because Coach just emptied the bench and had a fun time in the fourth quarter.
And I don't understand sometimes when I see scores like that, and I know there's probably a lot more to it, you know, towards the empty the bench and all that type of stuff, but still, you think that games at that level in a matchup of a state championship game, regardless of what division, you would see a pretty tight game based off of them getting that far and having to have a pretty good talent in order to do so. So that surprises me when you see that. You got to remember now, we talked about Selden Arena's court being a little larger, longer than what they expect in high school.
Great
they
point.
Go back to their high schools and they play a few games there on that reduced size. Now they're at an NBA court. So start doing the math on that.
How about it's bigger? And we got to ask Andy Lowe, our PAC Meter Information Specialist, how big is bigger than Selden Arena to the NBA?
Yeah, you got to look that up for us and let us know, Andy, on that. Well, you're sitting right there, and you're.
It might be the same size.
He's pretty good at spreadsheets. The other thing I want to say about Carruthers is that I am going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say I've never heard anybody talk about transfers that going to Carruthers. So this team that you see that has played for the state championship, Division Five, those kids, more than likely, all of them have been together since as soon as they could ever dribble a basketball.
And I think that was a big complaint they moved to Division Five because they said, hey, we're homegrown people. It's the same size. Same size Selden Arena as it is in the Golden One Center. But they're like, hey, wait a minute. Memorial comes in and they get all these new girls from Central and Edison, and we got homegrown kids and we're doing it the right way. We don't want to be in the same division. I get that. So I understand why teams are saying, is that fair? But, you know, you look at the state playoffs for girls. State took care of Memorial. They put them in Division Two in the playoffs, and they did very well. They won two. They knocked off the 4C. They did a great job. So was Memorial Division Four teamer in the Valley? Probably not.
No, I'd say you're probably right. I think that's probably a fair. That's the first time I've heard you say something that makes sense in a long time.
Thanks,
so
Nick.
I'm with you on that. I had to come back a little bit because I did listen to the Rice Show yesterday, and I thought that was probably one of the best bantering type of environments that I've been exposed to between you and Matt in some time.
He
and
almost threw his earphones at me.
I thought it was great. And that's what radio is. It's good back and forth bantering. And you guys talked about a topic that I thought was pretty good to talk about, and getting different opinions on that. It's always
helpful.
We'll
definitely bring that up today because you're my basketball guy. The other congratulations, Division Five state champs, the Foothill Trojans beat Shasta, Mount Shasta, who had Mount Shasta, and you know, they're the Bears. Shocker, but that's their mascot. Foothill beat them 78-66. I didn't think Foothill was a Division Five team, but you know what? If I'm Foothill, I'm taking it. I'm a state champ.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to tell you that one there. I'll spend more time talking about Carruthers and their win than I'm going to talk about Foothill and their win. I think that's that Division Five thing. We'll take the win, and it's good for the Valley, but that team's better than Division Five, and it's a shame that they put them all the way down there. But it's good. It's good for the Valley. I just think they're a higher-ranked team.
So. And we got one more team tomorrow, and we're going to talk to Chris Woods today from the Emmanuel Eagles, and they got a championship game tomorrow in Division Four. So we'll call him in a little while. We're going to catch up at 4:30 with Anna Almeida, the head coach of the Carruthers Blue Raiders, as they're the state champs. So that's great, and the bus ride home would be fantastic. Let's take a break. I'm going to ask what Nick Anderson thinks. Jalen Green is leaving the area, going to Prolific Prep, and we're going to ask my basketball expert when we come back. Don't go anywhere on this one. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, the sun's out here at the Fieldhouse, Copper and Maple. Come on out and hang out with the Pag Meter, Nick Anderson. We're talking state playoffs. We got baseball going on, finally. But Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, 559-261-9030. That's the number if you're a farmer out there. You need help.
And the phone will be answered by Rochelle, and Rochelle will ask you where you farm. And she will get you a phone number of an individual that best suits your geography.
I love that.
And why are you referred to as the Pag Meter, and I'm just Nick Anderson? Where's my
nickname?
Well,
no, you're the big cat.
When do I grow up? When do I get a chance to become something bigger than just the tallest midget?
Well, you're a big cat, and I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I'm not sure where that came from.
Well, Cal Poly. Isn't that Cal Poly or
am
something?
I the big cat? No, you don't want to know my nickname at Cal Poly. That might offend somebody.
Yeah, I don't want to. We'll go there because
hey,
you
listen,
know.
Listen. Yeah. Just to follow up on something, a good friend of ours, Paul Meadors, he just texted me, Nick, and this makes sense to what we were talking about earlier. So I had indicated that I felt Foothill, which I congratulated them on. I think it's a great win for the Valley. But getting back to what you were talking about, that Mount Shasta is the team they played. Mount Shasta has 315 kids that attend that school. I'm assuming there's no transfers that go to Mount Shasta. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that, too. Foothill has 2,000 kids.
And they had a whole bunch of new players from Chicago that transferred in. And I think when you play in Chicago, the first place you think about when you want to transfer is, boom, Foothill.
There's something. There's just that right there is an example of You know, I that's the CIF thing. Again, nothing against it. It's a win's a win. Congratulations. State championship, well deserved. All I'm indicating is that I think the system's broken when you put a team like that at a level like that against teams like that that they're going to meet at 315 kids. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense
at all. Well, I never understood why they did that because Foothill is easily a Division III team. They played in the Clovis West Nike tournament. They're not bad. They can't beat a Division I team.
That's what I'm saying. So they're a Division I enrollment, and they can't beat Division I
well,
teams.
Well, and they won the Division IV section championship here. But the CIF state, remember, our CIF will put teams, they'll give them to the state. And we all know what goes on there. We all know about Clovis West not playing at their own gym. We know about that. I get it. But when Jim Critchlow and Mr. Cardoza gives them, here's our teams going in. We don't know if they're going north or south.
I'm not.
Memorial went Division II girls. They're like, whoa, how'd that happen?
I'm beyond. Well, they should be.
Memorial boys went one.
Okay.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just saying it's all over the board.
Yeah, but
Bakersfield Christian. Well, this is what kills me.
How does Foothill?
Wait, Bakersfield Christian lost in boys basketball to Foothill in the state in the at Selden Arena. But Bakersfield Christian end up going Division III in the state, and Foothill went five. Wriggle me that one.
Yeah, so is that a computer, or is that just people getting tired at the end of the day getting down to those divisions and saying, let's just start throwing these guys here, these guys there? No rhyme or reason, right?
Well, it's the competitive equity, and it really helped out our central section this year because we have four in the state championship, and we won two state championships in soccer with Garces and Mountains and Madera South. This is a record year for us.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's been a lot of publicity over that, too. And, again, it's always good for the Valley, and especially in basketball, where, you know, I think we're looked at as the stepchild, really, for the most part across the state.
Speaking of basketball, Nick Sturt, Jalen Green has decided to leave the arena, and he's going with his family to Prolific Prep. And that is a professional private high school.
Yeah. So
that's as big as you're going to get. When you move the family to Napa, they got a budget. Now, I totally, and Matt's correct on this one yesterday, if anybody in the CIF is playing that team in a game, they are crazy. Because that is a professional. They should be playing junior college teams.
Well, they're not playing CIF.
Thank you. Well, yep. Sometimes they did before. I saw Modern Day used to play. They would play
exhibition or
no,
something
better
like that.
Exhibition I get, but if you're playing in a real game.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what a real game is. Exhibition's a real game. So
no, it doesn't count as a win.
I mean, a real game, so it's a game, though. They're playing against each other. And, hey, Modern Day thinks they're a professional high school, so go play against a professional high school and see how you fare. They're recruiting the top players in the state every day. It's like a revolving door down there. One day you get this guy, one day you get that guy, and then another guy shows up and you keep going, which I think's fine. So you play against those guys, and then you find out really quickly how good you are. But getting back to Jalen, you know, we talked a little bit about Jalen last week, and that was the rumor that you had heard, and you had kind of
I've been hearing it for 2 years.
Right. So, but that got a little bit closer. You were able to find some information that allowed – and Jalen made that comment after the game, after the loss up north, that he thought he was going to be out of there. And then we said, well, hey, I brought that up last week. I said, that's up to him. That rumor is still a rumor until he decides to do what he's going to do. So it's official, I guess, from what you're telling me and what other people have confirmed. And he's off he goes. And that's really no surprise. I mean, most people you talk to, I mean, nobody's really surprised about that just because of the talent that he has. I will say that him being a part of the Valley and the central section for the last 3 years, that's done nothing but good things for the Valley. It's created top teams to play San Joaquin Memorial. San Joaquin Memorial goes and plays. People see Fresno attached to San Joaquin Memorial's name. That is good, regardless of what people – there's a lot of haters that are out there, but a lot – what people say about things and – under the heat of the battle. But honestly, it's sad to see him go. It makes sense on what he's doing. I know Prolific Prep very well. I know what they're about up there. I think in terms of prep schools, they go about it as good as you can. I know a couple of the kids that play on that team already, and they're good kids. I've met them. I know them personally. So I think the makeup of that's good, and off he goes. And sad for the Valley, but congratulations to him, Nick.
Does anybody talk about the educational part of this whole thing? It's just all about basketball. Is he? I guarantee he's going to go to school for about 7 to 9 minutes, and then it's out the basketball court in the weight room. I get it. Yeah. Some of the local media people are going to be in mourning because they followed him around like he was Bruno Mars. Everywhere, he had a lunch today. He had a sandwich. Did you see him? He was over at the field house, and he had fries with it. I mean, I've never seen anyone follow a kid around with some of the local media here. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. I see.
But let me ask you, because you're Mr. Educational part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Do they even care about, because these guys are getting ready for the NBA, and what if these guys don't make the NBA? What happens?
That's always the question I've always had. And there's plenty. Jalen's going to play. I mean, I believe he's good enough. He's going to keep moving. But there are a lot of examples there of what you're referring to that don't make it. And when they don't make it, they don't have the schooling, or they can't continue on, or have some kind of a path that's been kind of presented to them to continue with their life in terms of a job of some kind. So I think it's a struggle. They probably stay within athletics, whether they get into assistant coaches or trainers, if you will, and people like that. But
will he get better? Is he get better coaching over there with Prolific Prep, or would he get it at Memorial?
Well, I mean, essentially you're getting one-on-one. Well, the coaching for sure. I'm going to tell you that right now. Those guys up there have been around the game. They understand the game. They're not just coaching talent. They have talent, but they're also coaches at the same time. So you're getting a little bit of both. And I spoke to one of the fathers of the kids that's up there, and he's loving it. He was at a public high school a year ago. He's played 1 year there at Prolific Prep. And he feels like, I said, is that a good move for you? How do you feel about things? And he said, you know, I didn't understand what I was getting into, but as far in terms of this kid's going to be 7 feet tall. He's 7 feet. He has the potential of really playing on. You got to look at what's down there. And if you don't do that, you're going to get mad at yourself for not taking advantage of those opportunities. So it makes sense for some of these kids, but not all kids, okay? Is he going to get better? I think he'll get better because I've always said he needs to get, unfortunately for the Valley, because, again, you're removing such a great player from the Valley. But in order for him to get better, he's got to be surrounded by some really good players. And he's going to have the big up there that can play. He's going to have the off guards. He's going to have a dog in a sense of a point guard that's going to be able to get up the court and get him the ball quickly, create shots, things like that goes into the game of basketball at the next level that you might not necessarily get here. So it makes sense for a guy like Jalen to go there. So I think it's a positive move for him. So that's my opinion on it.
You've got five guys now in the lineup. They're all going to want me, me, I. That's the problem.
Well, that's where that coach comes in.
The other question is San Joaquin Memorial. It's going to be the A or B. Either A, they come back as strong and go, you know what, we're going to get more touches now. We're going to do a better job. And Matt and I differed yesterday about this. But I said they're going to be more exciting to watch because before it was just Jalen. If he wants to turn it on, he's like Kobe Bryant. If he wants to shoot it, he's going to shoot. He'll score 40 to 50 points if he wants. If he doesn't, he'll pass the ball around. Now it could be a good team concept. Or does everyone leave? Like Braxton Mia, what is he going to do now? Because I understand he's staying at a family here. What if they move away? Where does he go?
I mean, I don't know his situation, but I did hear some rumors that's how the setup is there.
So Memorial League comes in strong, or this is why I've always – and it's a catch-22 – everyone said, but Pagmeter, Memorial needs to be Division One. Well, they had this by probably the second-best team or maybe the best team in the Valley, one or two this year. But they easily could go away. And one little flip of the switch, they could go back to Division Three, Four basketball. And I see why they're not want to go up to Division One, because you never know what's coming in year to year.
Yeah, but you still are out there doing what you're doing in order to encourage players to come there, right? And that's okay. I got no problem with that. So if you're going to continue to actively recruit kids to play basketball there, then I think you should play it.
But everybody's recruiting. Don't kid yourself. Everybody recruits. Everybody recruits. Let me say it again. The recruiting right now, if you hear that it's not bad here in the Central Section, it is worse than it's ever been in every sport.
No, I don't agree with you. I agree with you that people are recruiting. But the people that are recruiting behind the scenes, what division mostly are those teams playing
in? I don't really care.
I care because just said something about divisions. And so if you got Division One teams that are recruiting, then they're in Division One. If San Joaquin Memorial is going to recruit, then they should be in Division One. Every team should be looked at on an annual basis, and they should say how many new kids are coming in, what kind of players do they have, and then you put them in those divisions. So if you're, I don't care if you got 500 kids, how many new kids did you get? Did it look like an athletic move? I don't care if you do it. It's legal to do it. I'm just telling you, go to the right division. Play where you should play. Don't try to make up the smoke and mirrors about, oh, I'm gonna play against these teams here, and then I'm going to go here and do this. San Joaquin Memorial lost to Clovis West, and they lost to Clovis North. Okay?
This is why I want to do it year to year, Big Cat. Not every 3 year cycles, because 3 year cycles means nothing
to
me.
I agree.
Once a year, so... we can get to, by the time this show is done, I can go to every division for next year and let you know where they need to be. Maybe they graduate everybody. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're all young coming back. We'll move them up or down.
That's the question mark. Then what about the Milton Burnetts of the world? What do you do about those guys?
That's a bonus. I mean, who knows when he's going to show up and who's going to learn.
I'm going to throw that factor into your little scenario, too.
every year we have one or two guys they want to travel, and they go to school every 2 weeks. And he's one of them. And... it is what it is. Let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk with the state championship coach from the Carruthers Blue Raiders, Anna Almeida. She's in Sacramento. She won a big one today over Ramona, and we'll talk to her when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
Welcome back, you, on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out at the Fieldhouse here in the zone. Brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. If you're a farmer out there, you know exactly what we're talking about. Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. It's this time of year now. The sun's out. The tree wants to boom. 559-261-9030, right?
Those trees are rolling right now, man. I tell you, they're starting to get petal fall, which we'd refer to as petal fall. Start getting a lot of green, kind of a green tint on those trees that you drive by on your way to the coast. And, again, we've had so much moisture out there that the need for multiple fungicide applications this year, along with a good, solid nutritional foliar application, is greater this year than it has in the last probably 3 years or longer. But don't forget about the soil, because right around petal fall, as you've heard me say in the past, you're running out of resources. The trees generally will store up nutrients up in the wood, the bark, throughout the winter, and that tree gets through bloom, and then it starts to, once petal fall comes, it starts to look downward to try to absorb some nutrients. So right now it's very challenging because of the amount of moisture that's in the soil. So choosing the right products that are the most efficient and effective is the best thing that you can do. So please consult with your CCA, PCA at Helena Agri Enterprises, and they will set you up with a program based off of the environment that you're farming in today.
Well, you've had to do some homework just doing this show, huh? You never knew that before. Because Andy Lodge is over here, schooled you how to say that. But, you know, here, I know there's a lot of people leaving Sacramento, driving down 99, who's going to see a lot of trees out there. Because I know every time I go to Carruthers, there's plenty of almond trees out there. And I'm very excited about this, because we got the state championship coach with us now, Anna Almeida. Coach, congratulations, the Carruthers Blue Raiders are state champions.
Thank you.
I watched this whole thing. It was exciting. You were business sense. I could tell when the girls were warming up. They're not here to have fun. They want to put on a clinic, and you took it to Ramona right away. You took them out of their game plan with that full court pressure, and that first half was huge.
I agree. Our girls played really good. They executed the game plan perfectly.
So it was a game plan. We're talking with Coach Almeida from the Carruthers Blue Raiders. Pounded inside, because your height, you just dominated the boards early.
Well, we definitely aren't tall to dominate the boards. We just really work on boxing out and putting a body on somebody. And our girls really did a good job of making sure to find their big and get in good position to get rebounds.
Hey, Coach Nick Anderson, congratulations. Well done. Way to rep the San Joaquin Valley up there.
Thank you.
So you mentioned you know, Pagmeter, we talked about this a little bit in how good these teams are that come from the Valley, that go out, let's say they go to L.A. or wherever they go. We said this a couple of days ago. Those teams that are able to fundamentally play the game, boxing out, rebounds, doesn't matter how talented you are, you don't have to be the most athletic, but if you can, if you're well-coached and Carruthers is a well-coached team, and to be able to have a group of kids, and I said this earlier, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, but your group of kids more than likely were homegrown, came up through the system all the way from probably fourth grade up or even before that, so these kids have probably been playing together for a long time.
Yeah, they're all homegrown kids. Actually, our starting point guard number three, Anna Marshall, she didn't start playing basketball until she was at the end of her sixth grade year. And then our starting, she's a guard, but she plays our five position, which is our center on offense. She started playing at the end of her seventh grade year.
So you've got some, so they're not the veterans of the group, but I'll tell you what, I mean, obviously, they're fitting in really well. You've got a great group of kids. They're rebounding. I was watching my daughter play last night, San Jose State against Fresno State, and I said after the game, I said, we need to rebound the ball more. We got to get boxed out. We got to have to box out. And that's generally the difference in a lot of basketball games is the rebounds. The rebounds are huge.
And don't
Nick.
Give them the extra shot.
Don't give them the extra shot.
Okay, Coach Anna, so record year, 32 wins, 32-4. I know a lot of the Carruthers spawn boosters out there, and they're saying, we're really, Nick, Pagmeter, we're about 2 years away from being really, really good. We're ahead of schedule. So you got it going on out there.
Yeah, it's real exciting times. This senior class that's going out, they were the ones that kind of started, in youth basketball in fifth grade. We had a class before them that graduated out when they were freshmen, and they were like, it slowly started to trickle in, and next year's incoming eighth grade class is going to be elite, to say the least. It's going to be fun, and it will continue down. We have all the way through fifth grade so far.
We're talking with Anna Almeida, the head coach of the Carruthers Blue Raiders state championship team. Got a big win today over Ramona. It just took it out of their game. And has it hit you? Has it hit the team yet? You guys are the state champs because you worked so hard all the way through the summer, every day, boom, boom, boom. Now it's over. But you go out as a winner. Has it hit you yet?
Not me. And the girls are still with me. We're driving back. And they said it hasn't really hit them yet. It feels like we're waking up tomorrow morning and having 7 o'clock practice like we do every day, and they haven't, I think until tomorrow when they wake up and they know that they don't have basketball practice, it'll really hit them.
Yeah, that's got to be a feeling. You wake up, you sleep on it, it's like you're sitting there on cloud nine. And what a great experience. What I've noticed also, Anna, you probably have noticed this as well, the support, coming from multiple schools, following them on the social media, and a lot of people congratulations and also good luck tweets from, let's call them other schools. I mean, there's been so much support that I've noticed, and I'm sure you've seen that as well. It's been nice to be able to see that we can get away from, hey, the competition thing, and everybody support whoever's still alive out there. And I felt like the Valley was supporting your group of kids better than I've ever seen before.
I agree. I mean, it was unreal the amount of, and I had said that earlier, just the amount of coaches from other schools wishing us good luck, sending text messages, sending out tweets, inboxing me on Facebook or anything, and then wishing our girls a good luck. It's in our community is insane. They're amazing.
And
the
how
support
about the
that
big
we get from them is awesome.
How about the big screen at the gym in Carruthers? How cool was that?
Yeah, and our elementary school was actually watching the game during their classes. So it's not just at the high school level. It's district-wide. Everybody was super excited. The elementary school erupted in yells, they said, when the final buzzer sounded and we won.
That'd be great to be able to see some of those videos of those kids cheering and having a good time during the game. I'm sure those are out there somewhere. I'm sure they already have surfaced, but they'll probably surface here soon. I did notice also McFarland down there. They actually canceled classes today for their game, I want to say, and encouraging, you know, people to watch and support that. So it's fun to see that kind of an environment going on with basketball, especially here locally. You've been down there for, what is it, been 15 years?
Yeah, I've been. This is my 15th season. I just finished.
So you've done I've followed you along. My kids have played for Clovis West along the way, so I've been able to kind of watch what you're doing down there. You stayed put down there in Carruthers for 15 years, and that says a lot for what you do. Is this team here, would you say, this might be a tough question for you, is this your best team, regardless of the state deal and everything, is this the best team you've coached?
I mean, team-wise, yes. In the sense of, I mean, I've coached a lot of talented kids, but just the amount that I got out of these kids was insane. And not because we won a state championship, but just the amount that I kept receiving was crazy. And I've never teams in the past because we were limited in some areas. I always pushed them to the best of their abilities. And this team, they just kept raising the bar. And it really challenged me as a coach to continue to get better and push myself personally to match what they are offering.
We're talking with the head coach of the Carruthers Blue Raiders, Coach Anna. Coach, did playing at Selden Arena help playing in Sacramento, that big arena? Does it look like Ramona was over their skis?
Playing at Selden Arena definitely helps, and I think it really helps with the girls, like their nerves and just making the environment more businesslike. Like, we've done this before. We were just here last 2 weeks ago, you know. So I think that really helped with them in that aspect of the game. And then obviously Woodland Christian allowed us to use their gym. And it's like an NBA floor and it has like the baskets that don't have the backdrop and stuff. And so I think that really benefited us because we practiced there the last 2 days.
And, of course, you had the Blue Crew show up. You had the Golden One Arena. It sounded like you were playing at Carruthers.
Yeah. The crowd was awesome. And just the amount of blue that was out there was amazing.
And we're hoping to get you on the Rise Show. I'm going to try to get the whole team on the Rise Show this week on Thursday, so we'd like to have another party with you. Congratulations, Coach, and give the girls a high five. And what a great story this is. 32-4, state champs. I can't wait to see the rings.
Yes, we're excited about that too. Jackie Magana wants two rings, a Valley Championship ring and a state championship ring.
Of course.
Hey, Coach, real quick question before we let you go. With all the attention that the team has had in the last few weeks, and I know even leading up to that, you got any kids on the team that are getting recruited? And if so, there's some local schools looking at them at the next level. Any insight at all on some of the talent that you have on that roster?
Well, Jackie Magana and Felicia Ramirez are definitely being recruited. They have local, like, junior colleges looking at them. In California, they have different schools. Jackie has Humboldt. She has William Jessup. She has San Diego Christian. Felicia Ramirez has Whitman. She has William Jessup. She has, East Bay, CSU East Bay.
Coach, I'm sure after this you're going to get more and more because you're on the center stage.
Well, for them, I hope that happens. Makes all the work worth it.
That's right. That's well put, Coach. I mean, that's what we're here. These kids work hard. They all have goals and dreams and working hard to achieve those to actually get those dreams come true. It's fun to watch and look forward to seeing where they end up and tell them to keep working hard. And doesn't end today. Tomorrow's another day. Workouts start the next day, right?
Yep.
All right, Coach. Well,
sure,
congratulations.
Does.
And have a great, safe trip back home, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Right. The head coach, Anna Almeida, from the Carruthers Blue Raiders State Championship team. Outstanding. 5 o'clock, we're going to talk with Chris Woods, the head coach of the Emmanuel Eagles. We're going to, as he got it, they have a big game tomorrow, and we'll find out how the Eagles are looking. So we'll be right back. We're here at the Zone. Come on down to the field house, and we got to, I recommend today, they talked me into the prime rib sandwich in one word.
I don't say, but I'd say giddy up on
double
that.
Double giddy up. It was really good. I put it in that old famous blue cheese dressing they have here with some fries, and I'm loving it. We'll be right back here with The Zone on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in The Zone on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and The Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
Friday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with the Fieldhouse. Thank you making the Fieldhouse and the Zone show brought to you by Helen Agri Enterprises, the hottest show going on here on a Friday. We get great responses. People love the local flair. We had Carruthers talking basketball. We're going to have Emmanuel coming on. But how about the big game last week before all the rains hit? The Minarets Mustangs, the Division 5 number one team in their section, beat the number one team in the Valley, Clovis North Broncos, 6-2. Aaron Hall just shoved it against the Clovis North Broncos. And do you see that in basketball? Can a Division Five like a Carruthers come in and beat Clovis North or Clovis West?
I mean, anything's possible. So I'm not going to go out and say no, never. I think that those kind of things happen. I think more so in a baseball game than in other sports. Mm-hmm. You know, football probably doesn't work real well.
Especially the big lefty Aaron Hall.
Yeah, basketball doesn't work real well. But baseball, yeah, you got a kid. You know, Minarets is the kind of school that has one kid that has impact. And it's like we have. You have a pitcher that can pitch at high school. It's like, you know, girls softball. I mean, you got a pitcher. You're never going to hit the ball if she's, you know, really good, rock star. So this kid can throw the ball. He's big. He's strong. You know, I don't care if you're playing Division 5, 4, but what does Minarets do after that? So you got to be the consistent part of it. Does that kid belong at Minarets? No. I think it's great that he's there, and I think he's going to be successful there. He's a kid that comes from a great family, a student beyond students, academically above the majority of what you would see. So a lot of good things going to happen. He's going to probably play baseball in college. His family has got ties to West Point. There's a lot of history there, so a lot to be proud of for Minarets to have a kid like that. A lot of kids would run from Minarets, and they'd go find another school. They'd go to Clovis North, let's say, for example. For him to hang in there, have a path for himself set beyond baseball, congratulations. I'm a big fan.
Well, yeah.
I will follow that the rest of the season. I am a Minarets Mustang fan.
Have you been I've been to a few games up there in the hills. I love the backdrop there. The stadium, I feel like I'm in Washington State or something. It's beautiful up there. But Aaron Hall, lefty kid. Now, he might have some options, too, because I'm sure some of the Major League scouting people will be out watching him after he beat Clovis North. And you're right. If you could pitch, if you could play, you don't have to go to the top team in the Valley. There's a lot of parents will say, we got to get to that school where we're going to be facing better pitching or better hitting every day. Well, not necessarily.
Not in baseball. I think you're a professional baseball player. At least you tell me that. But every day I see you. But I think you could probably in baseball, as long as you're doing the things you need, you're throwing the ball hard. They're going to clock you. How hard are you throwing it? What other things you can do fundamentally out there? You're going to fit into any baseball team for the most part. Now basketball, football, that could be a different story. But, man, I'll tell you, he's going to West Point? Is he planning on going to West Point? So his college plans are already set. Those of you out there don't understand West Point, no, I'm not talking about going to West Point and putting up rifles and shooting targets. You got to be academically stellar to go to West Point. And that is one of those things when you hear kids talk about West Point, Naval Academy, those are institutions that you just say, wow, wow, wow. And that's another word for
Giddy up. Yeah, no question about it. And I love what Coach Jesse's doing out there in Minarets. He's got a great program working. That is I like it up there. I like the purple and gold up there. I like everything they're doing. They're building a beautiful stadium. They got it going on. It's, you know, it's what, 15 minutes from Fresno?
They recruit, too, because they've got school buses that come down here and pick up kids. But on the academic side, they're very, very good academic school. So you look at, you know, another place to go. They do really well in the science area, from what I know from friends of mine that go up there. So, yeah, Minaret's a good school, good option, and they can compete, and they can beat those bigger schools. So don't ever rule that school out. So.
And everybody's recruiting, okay? Just put it out there. Everybody recruits.
That's
how it is.
Not everybody.
Coming back, we're going to talk Emmanuel Eagles basketball. They got a big one tomorrow, Division IV state championship. Gordon Woods will be with us. And also, I want to talk Fresno State basketball. Are you jazzed about the Bulldogs?
We'll
find out if you're jazzed or not. We'll be right back. This is The Zone on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in Don Holtz? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
You know, you're almost ready to do that voice, the guy who does the show. We're getting ready.
Well, I was, Wes?
You got that deep voice.
I do my training. They have a 5 minute deal that you go to before the show starts.
Yeah.
And they have
warm it up
that voice and get it going.
What do you like, put like heat on the throat or anything like that?
Methylate them.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it heats it up a little bit.
I just go cold turkey. I just go wild.
Yeah, we can tell.
I go Gigi on everybody. It's the Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson. We're at the Field House, Copper and Maple. I recommend the cheeseburger, the prime rib sandwich. Those are my two favorite, but you know what I like because I eat like I'm 12 years old. What do you like here, Nick, when you bring the family in?
What
does Jill eat?
Well, I mean, I think there's all sorts of things. Salad, they have a nice salad. They got a
salmon. Ladies will love it here, too.
Well, you got everything you want here. I mean, I think if you come to an establishment, I don't think you're looking for a kale salad or something. I think it's something that you're going to come to. You're going to have everything from nachos to hamburgers to, so they got salmon salad, tri-tip salad, so I think you can say a little, and I even got hot dogs here, which is crazy. I mean, you don't go to a lot of places that serve a couple different versions of hot dogs. You also have some fun pizza, a cauliflower crusted pizza for those of you that are looking for a low carb pizza, whatever that means. That is also on the menu, and that is a wonderful item.
How about that giant pretzel that's on steroids?
Ooh,
it's a 5-pounder.
That's a carb bomb right there. But if you're wanting to enjoy a few IPAs, hang out with your buddies. Get one of those pretzels. It's about as good a pretzel as I could ever tell you. Got a couple different selections of mustards that go along with that, Nick.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it is
giddy up. Well, let's go live to Sacramento. We got one of the hottest coaches going on right now, Chris Woods, the head coach of the Emmanuel Eagles basketball team, getting ready to play the Division IV state championship tomorrow. Coach Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Fantastic, and I love the send-off over at school today. That was great.
Yes, it was. It was awesome.
And let's talk about the Emmanuel Eagles, because at the beginning of the year, I'm sitting with my partner, Matt Johnson. He goes, oh, I don't know. Emmanuel's got a long way to go. They're not as good as they were last year. And I said, every year, the Emmanuel Eagles, they start peaking in the second half of the season, and you watch, I told them, by playoff time, they're going to be tough to beat. And you do it again. You go to Sullivan Arena, you rock and roll, you get me in 6 straight section championships. What's the secret out there?
We've just got a great coaching staff and a great group of guys. The guys just have such a high basketball IQ. We can just continue to get better as the season progresses, and they just come out and execute.
Yeah, but you know, that fundamental thing. We talked to the Carruthers coach a little while. Hey, Coach, this is Nick Anderson. Talking about the fundamentals that you just brought up, we talked a little bit about that with Carruthers and how they were talking about rebounding and finding the big girls on the other team, and they aren't necessarily big, but they're able to execute, get things done, make that extra pass on the offense, get that rebound, prevent the number of putbacks from the other team. And that's kind of what we see in your team down there. And over the years, you guys have been consistent. So when you see consistent behavior year in and year after, there's something going on. When you see it, some teams have, you know, teams that show, some schools have teams that show up with one good year, and then all of a sudden they disappear someplace. But consistently, you've been good. So obviously, you guys are doing a lot down there with that school in order to create that kind of atmosphere with that chemistry. And what a wonderful school. You guys have had success not just in basketball but other sports down there too, Nick. You know, looking at the baseball program a couple of years ago along with the state championship, I want to say a runner-up state champions, right, in football, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of years ago. So a lot of things going on down at Reedley, and you guys have a great school, high academics, so I'm sure you that kind of carries over onto the basketball court as well.
Yeah, we've got our sophomore class. We've got four or five guys that are in AP classes and just really high academic students. And it does. It carries over to the court. They get along off the court, the whole group. And I think that's what makes a huge difference this year is they just get along so well. They enjoy seeing each other succeed on the court. We've got, you know, four or five guys that are capable of, you know, 15 to 20 points a game. And on any given night, it's anyone's opportunity, and they're all supportive of each other for it.
We're talking with Chris Woods, the head coach of the Emmanuel Eagles basketball team. They got a big game tomorrow at high noon. Tell me about the trip down. How was the bus ride? How are the kids? Are they excited? What's going down with the Eagles right now?
Yeah, the trip up was great. We got here about 3:30 or so. We came in and watched the end of the girls' game, and are watching the boys' D3 game right now. And the guys are excited, and I wanted to get them in here to kind of see the venue and just see what it's all about. And it is a little bigger than, you know, Selland, but it's, you know, same idea, a little bit bigger court, you know, same idea with the basketball hoops, the way they sit as Selland. So our guys are excited. They're ready and ready to play tomorrow.
So, Coach, tell us about the Ripon Academy, the Fighting Frogs. I love their mascot name, but I got to let you in a little secret. So when the Pag Meter picks games, I always look at the mascot, and I'm thinking the Eagles will beat up the Fighting Frogs. But tell me about the Fighting Frogs. I love the mascot, though.
From what we've you know, heard and read and seen, they're very big and athletic, and I mean they're a good team at 26-3. They've been ranked pretty high in Division IV all year, and but we've got our game plan ready to go. We've been preparing our guys, and they're excited to be able to have the opportunity to come out and compete.
Have you got a chance? I'm sure you watched plenty of film on them, so you kind of got a feel what their big guys are inside and how you going to handle it. But film's huge, correct?
Oh yeah, big time.
So Chris, so what's tonight? You'll stay in the. What's the game plan tomorrow for the Emmanuel Eagles? If the game's at noon, what are you doing in the morning?
We're getting up about 7 or so. We're going to do breakfast, do a little bit of a walkthrough, and just get the guys up kind of early like a typical school day and just get the blood pumping and in their legs and, again, walk through our game plan and then head over to the arena about 10, get in about 10 once we get in and go through all the clearance stuff, get in about 10:30 and just get in the locker room and get ready to prepare.
How do you prepare for that? I mean, you got a lot of things to prepare for, not just the team that you're playing, Coach, but the atmosphere that you're playing in. Is that a big deal to you? Do the kids talk about that? I mean, you got some experience with that, but going into that every time, it's one of those things. You got a bunch of lights shining on you. You got people in there. You've got a lot of huge scoreboard with loud horn, and you got all sorts of stuff that you're dealing with there. How do you feel that the kids are prepared for that?
Yeah, no, and personally for me, after having gone to Selland last year, this year seemed a lot more comfortable. Wasn't as nervous, kind of knew what to expect about the you know, the do's and don'ts, the procedures, the protocol of everything, and everything I've been told about this, it's very similar on the things that you're going to do before the game and on introductions and things like that. And so our guys have a little bit of, you know, history with that, so I think that helps. But this group is funny. They don't seem like they get too rattled or excited or over the top on things. We came in and they're all sitting together, laughing, joking, relaxed. But then when it comes game time, they're focused and ready to go.
Well, I think you nailed it, because the Carruthers said the same thing. Selden Arena really helped us, and it could be a huge advantage to get off to that good start. You're kind of used to that big arena, and that could be big. I think the key in these big state games is you got to get off to a good start.
Yeah, no, I think that's huge too. We're just watching the game now, and one of the teams came out and was, I think, up 17-3 in the first quarter, and it's a different court, different, you know, atmosphere, and teams can look kind of slow at times and just a little unsure of everything, and then once they get comfortable, knock down a few shots, that really helps. So our goal is to get a lot of shots up in warm-ups for the guys, just to get them comfortable and hopefully be able to come out early and be effective in our game plan.
Well, Chris, congratulations on a great year. Best of luck tomorrow. Bring home the state championship, and we'll get you on again. Have to talk about the big game.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Chris.
Chris Woods, the Emmanuel Eagles, and boy, the Ripon Academy Fighting Frogs.
So we're talking about the Horned Frogs.
The Fighting Frogs. I love that now. The Fighting Frogs. I've never seen it. I guess there's a lot of Fighting Frogs out there.
I think every frog out there is fighting for something. I mean, they're trying to figure out how to get to where they're going or fight for that fly that just landed on their tongue, right?
You know, it's a tough one. These teams have never seen each other. You're watching some film, but film is not eye candy. You have to go down and see the kill. You know, when they're warming up tomorrow, they'll be doing their little layup drill, and they're going to look over and go, yeah, oh, there's that big guy, number 23. That's the guy.
Once you get out there, it becomes real at that point. But, you know, you get to see some. I mean, I think the big thing in playoffs, and whether it be beyond Selden or going into Selden, is the coach's ability to adjust. There's always those little things that coaches keep in their back pocket for certain situations that they practice. They practice daily on these certain plays. And those plays don't necessarily – you never see those plays. But at some point when it makes sense, is that coach ready to use that play, whether it be an additional screen or some kind of an out-of-bounds play? Those are the kind of things that you see that will show up at games like this, Nick. That's when you see a true coach on how well they're prepared and are able to make those adjustments.
Well, if you're just joining us, we have two out of the three state champion teams around here. Carruthers won this morning. They beat Ramona. Foothill took care of business, the Division V state champs on the boys' side. McFarland lost the tough one on the girls' side. So now Emmanuel can make the Central Section 3-1. So, I mean, it's going to be a battle, but Emmanuel is playing great basketball at the right time. We're going to take a break, and we're going to kind of switch gears to Fresno State basketball, men and women, because I got questions, because Nick Anderson's my basketball expert here. We're going to talk, are you jazzed up about men's basketball, what's going on this year, and also women, because we had a big one last night, the San Jose State Spartans, and you were there, beat the Fresno State Bulldogs, and we'll talk about that as well. Don't go anywhere. A lot to talk about, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday afternoon. We're getting you ready for the weekend. The weather looks nice. You can get out there and work in your yard. If you're a farmer, call Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, 559-261-9030. I do want to thank Andy Lowe, our Pag Meter Information Specialist, because the guy's quick, Nick. When I give him an assignment, he's all over it. We should call him Google Boy.
Actually, what we refer to him as is Spreadsheet Boy.
Okay.
Because he is a one-task kind of guy. So we kind of give him all the things to do in the office that would just require, kind of get him. It's like giving a kid a lollipop and keeping him busy in the corner, right?
So you know he left, right? He can't defend himself.
He can email or something, but he is gone. But so we call him Spreadsheet Boy. I think that's a perfect nickname for him, so we'll just keep it at that. Hey, I do want to reach out to a special event. A buddy of mine, John Egan, who works at Rio Vista Middle School over in Central Unified, they are hosting the Special Olympics this weekend, and I want to give a shout-out. That's a special deal to do that. It's a huge success over there. Special Olympics over at Rio Vista. So they're sponsored by Me and Ed's Pizzerias. Do what you can to support those guys over there. John's a wonderful guy. He does a great job with the Special Olympics. And congratulations, John, on continued efforts to reach out and keep that moving down there.
Great job, John. You're a hero. Keep it up. You know, Andy Lowe brought up the PEG meter is I have a commercial out. I'm on the Twitter about the man of the year for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. He brought up a great idea because I'm trying to figure out what I can do to get, you know, raise money and have some fun. A golf tournament. I mean, eventually the sun's got to come out, right, and it's going to be golf. What about you? Think you like the first annual PEG meter tournament?
Yeah, I like that. Did Andy say he was going to play?
Well, he's a 5 handicap. You better play.
Is that what he told you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I played golf with him the other day. I didn't quite look that way, but I guess.
Well, we all have our off days. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, the air in Arizona is different than California, right? So, well, that's a good idea. And if you want to be on the PEG meter All-Star Lymphoma Leukemia team, go to my website. I have a little, they gave me a website. What do you call it? MWOYPAGmeter.org. It's easy. MWOYPAGmeter.org. And we're also going to have a Tessa Brooks meet and greet soon.
Oh, wow.
We're trying to figure out a place to have it. I don't know where we can have it around here. We got to have it close by where we have a lot of people show up. She meets her fans. So that's another big fundraising. So if you want to be part of it, get a hold of the PAG meter.
Yeah, it's got to be close, though. You're right. I agree with you. So that event, so it's going to be easily, you know, traveled and from outside to inside. So
be good for some business.
Yeah, it'd be great. So any of you out there is thinking that might be a good thing for you, reach out to the PAG meter.
Well, we're at the field house right now. I get over here and try that prime rib sandwich. It's outstanding. Last night, you were in San Jose. I put you on assignment. You went to see Megan Anderson. You might have heard of her, your daughter. And Danae Marquez, former Clovis West Golden Eagles national championship team. And they knocked off Fresno State in a big win. Tell me about that game last night.
You know, I was one of those. I was at a retirement dinner earlier that day, and I really struggled to get over to San Jose for tip, and I didn't make it. So I got there, and I think Fresno State was up. And, you know, San Jose State is a team that is getting better each week in the Mountain West, and they are young, and they'll be a good team moving into especially next year. So you know, they're fun to watch. But yeah, it was fun to watch specifically the two Fresno natives, Danae Marquez, who has had a great year for San Jose State.
Only a sophomore
is doing very well running the point, so she's the general out there and keeping that team together with the leadership. I mean, beyond all that, that's kind of what we're after. You're building people for the next step in life, and being able to do those things on the basketball court will only help her as she gets further along in the world of occupations. But to watch those two actually perform together almost identically in different ways in terms of points, and that to help San Jose State beat Fresno State. Even though we're a Fresno State affiliate, we do talk about local sports. These two kids are local kids, and them going up against their hometown school here at Fresno, it was fun to see them compete at a high level and win that basketball game.
So my question to you, so I'm a Linda Garza fan. Softball, I love what she's doing out there. Tremendous local girls out there. If you get a chance, you go to Fresno State softball, the place is packed. Local fans watching the local kids play, and it's something else. You got Danielle Lung, the former Clovis Cougar, PEG meter player of the year, back-to-back. You got so many great players. The other question, I got a whole bunch of questions for you. Was Megan Anderson to Danae Marquez even talk to Fresno State? Because I go to the same Art Center to watch Fresno State basketball, and there's no one there. So my next question is, why are we charging? Let high school kids, and if you come in with your uniform or something, you're in for free. Let's start promoting it, because Fresno State, Linda Garza's got it going on out there at softball. Place is packed, and it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, so what is she doing in order to attract her? There are more softball fans than there are other sports. I don't know. You can talk about, you know, we've talked about this multiple times, and how do we get more people to come out to Fresno State games? I mean, no matter who they play or what team my daughter plays for, we've got to get those fans out to Fresno State.
So how do you do it?
Well, we keep talking about that. I think what has to happen is You just got to start winning some games, some more games, and being consistent about it, and things start to kind of build back. We talk a little bit about the generation thing and having one generation kind of, you know, back in the day when they used to play at Cellin, and this is, again, repeated comments and discussion, but it's an ongoing thing to try to help figure out how to get more people in those seats, because even on a good year that the Bulldogs are having in the basketball court, they're still not getting the crowd out there that they should. Now Nevada comes to town, top 10 team at the time. Okay, people show up. Well, why can't we show up every week? They play San Diego State on TV the other night.
That's my next question.
I tune into that, so I'm beating you to it.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this game, and I'm looking, and I've been to a San Diego State game myself down there and watched them play against a different team, not Fresno State. And I was amazed by they had, multiple taco trucks and food trucks of various types of foods and stuff on the front before you go into the stadium. It was a great
atmosphere.
Oh, my gosh. Bands playing and people there piling in this arena. It's a great arena. It's stacked high, about 10,000 or so, I think, smaller than the Save Mart Center, but takes care of what your needs are. Loud in there. And so I'm watching Fresno State, and it reminded me of that game when they were playing a couple nights ago, and I'm fired up because Fresno State's making a comeback, and I'm just jumping off the couch here in a sense, because it was just good to see what Hutt's accomplished at Fresno State. Before we start getting back into the attendance thing, I was fired up for him. That team right now that is playing on all cylinders, and the fun thing about watching that team, Nick, is the defense. I just love what Coach Hutt has been able to accomplish, getting majority of those kids that were there last year to play in a different style this year with intensity. Why is he able to get that much more out of those kids compared to where they were a year ago? I might just be seeing something that maybe was going on last year, but I just see a different environment. So if you haven't got out to watch these guys play, they have one more shot at tomorrow. It's senior day, and we've got to send these seniors off on a good note. Please, if you got nothing to do tomorrow on a Saturday, there's so many tickets available for you. I think they can get in there. I think it's a 4 o'clock tip, Nick, if I'm not mistaken. Get out there and watch the Bulldogs play. They're an exciting basketball team right now. Exciting.
They're having a tremendous year. Now, will Coach Hutson stay? He's a local guy, but he's a basketball coach.
I think he's going to stay for a while. People tell me, oh, it's Fresno State's a stepping stone job, and as soon as you're successful, you're going to leave. It takes the right guy to want to build, and him being a local guy how long was he at San Diego State? Over 10 years or 9 years, whatever. I can't remember the exact time. Somebody can help me with that. Maybe, Russ, you can help me with the amount of time down there in San Diego. But he was there for a long time, so he did stick around, and he got some really, really good experience there. I think he stays at Fresno State for a while. He's got ties here. He's got, you know, family down in Bakersfield. If the job's there and they take care of him, he's going to only get better. I think he sticks around.
Well, I think time will tell, but he is a basketball coach, and he's doing such a great job. And you're right, it's light years different from – I don't want to say Coach Terry. It's just a different – they're playing with so much heart and passion, and they're playing defense. Before, it was just like, we make some threes, we're going to win. If we don't make threes, we don't get that 50-50 ball, we're not going to win. That's how he always coached. But I'm like, yeah, but it's a lot more to the game. It's heart, passion. Let's play some defense. This team is fun. But, you know, I'm hearing this, they're averaging 5,500 fans a game. There's no way. Is it more of the way Fresno State plays, Nick Anderson, or is it the team they're playing? Because when Nevada came in, we had about 7,500. That place should have been packed, should have been 15,000 people to see a top 10 team in the country, and there wasn't. So what is – I know the students aren't showing up anymore, so do we just say, you know what, scratch that idea. Students aren't coming to the game. Let's go after the youth. Let's get high school kids. Let's get elementary school kids. Let's get something, young families in, because the students will never show – I think we've never really asked the students since Boyd Grant was here in the early 80s to show up. So what's the game plan? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, Cellin Arena wasn't full of students.
No, there was no students back in the day.
Back when you went to games down there, you'd walk in and there'd be all the people that you're referring to right now. Families were there. Everybody be waving to each other.
But those kids back in the day have grown up and have kids now.
Did they go to Fresno State?
No. Okay. I don't think they
would. So did their parents go to Fresno State?
I would say probably not.
Okay.
So looking for you, you're a Fresno guy, and your Emily went to Cal Poly. Megan's going to San Jose State. If they were offered, you think they would have stayed home or maybe looked at it?
Well, Emily was offered by Fresno State.
Okay.
So she left, so I can ultimately say she did choose that. But she wanted to go to Cal Poly ever since she was little.
Because you went there and Jill went there.
Yeah, so there was a connection. Okay. Yeah. Megan, on the other hand, and Danae, we just talked about Danae. Yeah. No, there was no – there's a little bit of interest, but Fresno State did not, you know, go after those kids at all.
So why don't they go after local kids and they're going after a lot of foreign kids? Do you think if we got more local kids, where more people show up, or is that just a myth in my mind?
Well, so you referred to softball. Coach Gar's out there. Is she – how many local kids does she have on her softball team?
Well, I'm telling you right now, softball might be the fastest-growing sport around here. Girls softball in high school, Fresno State, Fresno City, all the schools around here are off the charts getting good. Okay? You watch the Little League softball. It's growing, and I think – there's a buzz for softball out there. And if I call us, 844-940-ESPN is our number. 844-940-ESPN. Call us. I want to know. I'm just asking, would more local, if we had five local kids starting in Fresno State, would more people show
up?
Sure
they would. I mean, more than they do now, because, I mean, if you look at the okay, so if you go to, let's say San Jose State, for example, and you go – you go to San Jose State and you say, okay, who's in the stands? Well, there's people there that are supporting these kids from one of the modern day guy. A parent flies up for every game. I'm bringing three or four. So they're driving up. So if you're looking at local kids and you're going to put them on the roster, and of course they've got to earn the right to be on that roster. I'm not suggesting that you just throw out a bunch of scholarships to local kids because you want to attract people. They've got to be warranted. They've got to have the ability to play on the basketball team. But you'll get more people out because right now there's, especially on the women's side, if you look at the attendance on the men's side, it's 5,700. The women are probably less than half of that, and that number's not real anyway. So you could almost cut that in half. So going back to what you'd asked a second ago, and we're going to take a break here in a couple seconds here and talk more about this. But you mentioned about whether it is the style of play that are going to attract people to go to the game, or is it the opponent that they're playing? And let's revisit that when we come back from break, Nick.
We're here at the Zone on a Friday afternoon. We'll be right back, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agra Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the Zone.
Friday afternoon here at the Fieldhouse, Copper and Maple, and it's starting to fill up like we expected. It's about by 6 o'clock tonight. Forget it. We'll have teams in here. We'll have birthday parties going on in the Fieldhouse. Come on down. We can talk if you're a farmer. If you have any questions for Nick Anderson from Helena Agri Enterprise LLC, this is the guy to talk with. If you have trees, maybe, what do I do now when the sun's finally out? I don't see a cloud in the sky, Nick Anderson.
That's beautiful. It's going to be a little chilly tonight, though, Nick, I think.
No question, but we got a baseball final out there. San Joaquin Memorial knocks off the Bullard Knights 2-1 in the C-MAC opener. So a big win. Joey Bell gets the win. Keep an eye on Mac Delena, center fielder. We do know that Jalen McMillan, he was one of the best outfielders last year for the Memorial. He decided he didn't want to play baseball. Mac Delena, Roman center field. What a great athlete this kid is.
Didn't play last year.
He was injured. Got to play football. And look at, he was the spark plug for that football team. Never came off the field. He was a wide receiver, safety, punter, kicker. He did it all.
Dual sport athlete right there.
Yeah, and he's outstanding. So baseball is underway. We get finally getting some games in. Keep the Pag Meter updated on Twitter, and I'll get the word out about your team. And I thank you for all the spotters out there, too. So it's going on, but we're talking a little basketball right now because one more game. That means Fresno State tournament time. They got to win the Mountain West, in my opinion, to go to the big show.
Well, there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean that's the case. I don't see how they're going to send two Mountain West teams. The only other team would probably go would be Nevada. Let's say if they didn't,
yeah.
if somebody else didn't, if somebody else won the tournament, Nevada would probably get some kind of a large bid, I'm sure. But getting back to your question earlier that we were going to touch on once we came back from break, on what attracts people to the Fresno State games, is it the coach? Is it the style of play, which kind of goes into the coach, I guess, if you will, but the name of the coach himself, the big name or, you know, middle name, or meaning that how popular are you is what I'm getting at, versus the opponent. Does the opponent attract you?
Are you talking just for Fresno State or any town?
We're talking Fresno State, okay. But that would go hand in hand with most places. But again, I've been to environments before where there's not a big name coach, and when you refer to a big name coach, you always use the name Calipari. So we'll just use that for example. Well, we're not going to get a Calipari at Fresno.
Since Calipari, if he was the head coach at Fresno State, would it be 10,000 plus every game?
Oh yeah, of course. But see, Fresno.
So it is the coach in your mind.
Well, I mean, they're just. We used to get pretty good crowds at the women's games when Stacey Johnson was there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she was winning basketball games. When Wiggins was coaching before her, there was crowds there for those games.
Yeah.
Am I not mistaken?
And then it just went.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. That maybe I have no clue. 844-940 ESPN is our number. I'd love to know.
Well, that's the question. I think just trying to figure out. You know, it's like a business, you know, an analysis on something. You know, why is this happening? What do we got to do to prepare for it? And I know Fresno State's doing a wonderful job getting some great coaches in there. I mean, Hutt's a great coach on the basketball side, for the men's side. And you think about the Tedford deal. I mean, Tedford's had two solid years of coaching at Fresno State. And, you know, I think next year you're going to see another up in attendance. But it's not that. That's still that huge attendance that you would expect with all the success that we're having, and why? And so I don't know if the big name coach works or not. I don't know if that might be something that's going to attract people to kind of see what's going on for the time. Tark, for example, when Tark came here, everybody wanted to go see Tark, right? Yeah. They just wanted to go and watch what he would do, you know, sucking on the towel.
That was a show.
Yeah, he was part of the attraction. And then he was able to bring some teams in on top of that. So you had two things going on there. And, of course, you're going to pack things up. People wanted to experience that. People want to be a part of successful stuff. Even in high school sports, you look around some of these teams around here, it's not like they got any worse during the playoffs. But they've been that good all season long. But you go to a girls' game or a boys' game, and in a lot of cases you'll see, you know, 25% of the gym filled up during the week, and all of a sudden come playoffs. So it's the hype. It's the hype that goes along with that game. So it's the other team. It's the environment.
So you're saying Jerry Tarkanian, back in the day, spoiled the fans because he brought in some big names because – when Nevada came in, I really thought we won't be able to get a seat. It's going to be packed. Forget, and there still wasn't, but it was still the biggest crowd of the year.
Yeah.
I think they look at the crowd, the team they're playing, and who are they playing? We're playing Monterey this week. I'm not going.
That's
what if Fresno State fans have turned into, because we had the buzz going for football. Jeff Tedford, the team is great. Marcus McMarion, it's great. And then basketball, I thought it would build right to it, and it has. Now baseball, we got another local. Mike Batesel's got so many great local kids out there, but we're not getting the crowd like softball is. And I don't know what's going on out there. Why isn't Fresno State baseball packed? And now, on my trip, I got to go to Lafayette, Louisiana, driving around. I saw the lights on. I got to see the Raging Cajuns. The Raging Cajuns take on the Texas Longhorns in college baseball. There was 8,000 people there. Texas had, or maybe 10,000. I don't even know what it hold, but Texas brought in about 1,500 fans. It was the greatest atmosphere. I thought I was at a World Series. And I know I would dream to see this at Fresno State. I don't know if we'll ever get it. It's more of a golf clap crowd out there. I don't know. I just want to see the fans show up again, but will they?
And when they show up, do they yell and they scream and do all the things that you see these crazy people doing at games? But those are solid questions, and we're going to keep talking about it because it's important. I think the kids deserve it.
No question.
I think if you go and you want your local school to do well, You have to support that school because, you know, when these kids come in on recruiting trips to take a look at, I mean, the Save Mart Center is great. It's such an attraction by itself, Nick, that when you come on a recruiting trip, you take a look and these kids love gear, they love facilities, and they take a look at that place and they go, wow, this is a wonderful place. I'd love to play basketball here. Look what they have. They've got 15, 13,000 people in here and or seats or anyway, and but why is it closed off on top, and why are there only 500 people here tonight? So, you know, we've been lucky to get the kids that we've gotten so far, and to continue to attract kids at the school, it's going to take the community effort to come in and support that, to where when the kids do come, they can see that the support from the school or from the community is there. Also, the kids that are out there playing, they play much better when they have a hype crowd out there to play in front of.
If there's 10,000 plus at every game, Fresno State might not lose at home. The kids are going to want to go, you know what, I want to play in that environment. That is fun. But it all starts with the crowd here. You want to win games? I don't think they lose a game at home if there's that. But you're right. If you're a kid and there's 1,600 people, maybe 1,100, and they're at a game and it's quiet, it's hard to get fired up for a game like that.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, Fresno's easy about complaining about something. So they complain about something, they don't like a coach or whatever they're doing. So the coach, they get rid of the coach, they bring somebody else in, they start winning games. They turn the program completely around. Everybody was complaining about DeRuiter on the football deal. Oh, hey, he's not winning, get rid of him. Well, okay, so Fresno State does what they need to do to continue to try to grab that extra gear with the program, hire a wonderful coach, and we still can't do that. So you keep pleading to the community to get out and support these guys. Fresno State's got a wonderful thing going on right now. The athletic department has changed immensely. They're focused on community. They do the sideshows. They're getting around to local restaurants and doing coaches shows, trying to reach out, have exposure with the community in efforts that they can possibly attract more people to come to these games. But seriously, let's start this thing off tomorrow on the men's side. It's senior day tomorrow. It's against San Jose State. There's no reason to try to put some count. It's 3 o'clock. Football season's pretty much over for the most part. Last time I checked, by the way. Baseball's right there. But if you've got time and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, head over to the Save Mart Center. Send these seniors off with a big round of applause because they take off for the Mountain West Tournament, and you won't see those kids play in the Save Mart Center again.
So Rob emails me in and said, if you have games like University of Texas coming in, Georgia, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, LSU, would it be packed? If we had those kind of teams coming in. Matt Johnson has always said there's only one way we're going to get the Red Wave back like it was back in the day, is Fresno State has to somehow, someday, a miracle, move to the Pac-12.
Yeah, but you've got to be able to conquer what it is you're doing. Like Boise State, for example. Okay, so people talk about Boise State. Boise State athletics is pretty consistent. Are they going to move, or they be more opt to move out of the conference and go on to a different conference, a higher end conference? Look at the West Coast Conference with Gonzaga. Why is Gonzaga still in the West Coast Conference? So, but they pack their place, and they don't have those teams. They have occasionally teams come in, but in the West Coast,
they pack their place because the students take over at Gonzaga.
They stand in line. They sleep on it. Okay,
yeah.
So
we don't have any students going to our games.
Okay, well,
zero.
That's the big difference. You got the band there. The atmosphere is good. So that's why I come up with the question. Fresno State can't jump up to the next. Stanford, you got to win before you can jump.
Well,
in,
I think the crowd helps too.
But that's what I'm saying, though. So you know, if you want Fresno to continue to grow and you want them to potentially move on to a different conference, too, you would get those UCLAs. And you can't just snap your finger and that's going to happen tomorrow. You've got to do your things, and that comes from the school, and it also comes from the community to support the program.
I know. But the sad news is, though, Nick, is Matt Johnson's right.
What? That's hard for you to say, too.
I know it is, and it really hurts me because we almost went to blows yesterday.
I heard that.
It's true. Fresno State has to get, and again, on the spring sports, baseball, softball, we got to get out of the Mountain West. We got to get in the Big West. It's a baseball, softball program. We got to start playing the Fullertons of the world in baseball. It'll be less money for travel. There's no need to take 3 planes to get to Air Force and play baseball or you know, all that. So, but he's right. Fresno State, if they ever want to bring back the Red Wave and be like San Diego State was the other night, we got to get in the Pac-12 or start. Can you imagine? Think about that. even in football, what's the schedule like? Oh, we got UCLA next Saturday, and the following week I'm going to go out to USC, followed by Oregon.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I think that's a dream. I think that's a dream that you can keep dreaming about, but you got to do some things leading up to that opportunity, and that's to get out, support the team, show that you can be that team that will show for those teams if they come to town. If Fresno wants to keep waiting for those teams to come in, okay, so Cal comes in and plays against the football team. Oh, gosh, talk about it all week long, make T-shirts up, and everybody shows up and paints their face red and white, goes and buys new gear. Good for the school because we're buying new gear. But a true fan's going to have that gear. They're going to have the faded cap. They're going to have the faded shirt because they're there every single week. We've got to have that fan base back. And the people that do go, that's who we have. What you're referring to, and I agree with you, we've got to get the next generation, the next step forward to get the entire place packed.
And I got some ideas, and we'll talk about it right when we come back. We are here at The Zone, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in The Zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and The Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, The Pack Meter and Nick Anderson.
You are in The Zone.
On a Friday afternoon, you are in The Zone. Of course you are. You're at The Fieldhouse. This is starting into a party, a Friday night party fest. This is a great way to start your weekend. Maybe you're going to a high school game. There's games played 7 o'clock tonight. It's the Emmanuel Invitational Championship in baseball. The Kerman Lions taking on the Emmanuel Eagles. Have you been out to Emmanuel, that whole sports complex, yet?
Oh, wow. I mean, we wanted to get into that. I talked about the baseball program a couple of years ago. Now, here's the question. We're going to move. We can't really get into this. We don't have much time left. It's been a wonderful show. But the facilities, the Emmanuel being where they are and adjustments being made to the baseball field as well as the football field as well. What's the story? They've been consistently good, and there's been a lot of people that have been turned away down there to watch basketball games because of the small gym. I wonder at some point if they look at maybe renovating that gym down there, Nick.
No question about it. The other high school news is the Reedley Pirates have a football opening. Coach Nagel has left the building. He's not going to be coach at Reedley anymore. I recommend Tony Gates, the former, he's still at Orange Cove right now. He's a graduate. Don't you love when you got a graduate, maybe played at that school? I just think he got a little extra giddy up when he comes back to his alma mater. Tony Gates is one of them. Pack Meter endorses Tony Gates for the next coach of the Reedley Pirates. Book it, Dano.
I like that, book it, Dano.
Book it, Dano, right?
Absolutely. Now, we're going to run out of time here, but I want to refresh something before you continue with your path there. Fresno State. And you had a great idea when we were off air about something that you feel would be beneficial to the school over there. And I think you've witnessed this at other universities that whether it be in the Big 12 or Pac-12 or where, some schools do a lot more in promoting, especially some of their players, like, you know, Marcus McMarion, for example, this year's team. You know, explain to me a little bit about what you told me, poster of some
kind. Well, this is what, I mean, there's only been one other school, I would say, in the last 50 years who had three superstar players playing at the same time, and that is Auburn back in the day, Frank Thomas of baseball, might have heard of Bo Jackson, might have heard of Charles Barkley. Three at the same time in that school. Fresno State, Derek Carr, Paul George, Aaron Judge, three of the best ever. Going on at you look at Aaron Judge, he's the hottest athlete going on right now. Derek Carr is at his up and down. He's still one of the top quarterbacks. Paul George is on fire right now. I want to have Chris Pacheco and his sign company, who owns ESPN, have 150-foot signs all over that place to let kids know growing in that, hey, Dad, is that where Aaron Judge played baseball? I want to be a Bulldog and get the enthusiasm up. Nick Watney. You can get him out there. You can get Marcus McMarion. You can get all the great athletes and put giant banners up to let people know where. I don't see anything when I go to the game. Do you ever see those? I don't see anything. I don't see them on Highway 99 or 41.
I want them everywhere. A schedule, but I think that's a great idea. And in today's world, I don't think signs cost that much to generate. It seems
we know someone who can do it.
oh, I know a really good somebody really good to do it. But that those are things I think recruiting starts when kids are born, is what you're saying. I mean, you want to take them to the games. And Fresno State wants to encourage kids to come. You know, and they do that already. It's kids' night. They invite high school teams, junior high school teams, but having that person up there on the board and saying, hey, I want to play there. I mean, even high schools do that. You see bobbleheads in high schools now, and these little kids who come in there and they're watching all this stuff go on. So I agree with you. I think that's a great idea. I've heard that elsewhere as well, but if we could just execute that, I'd love to understand why you wouldn't do that. What would keep you from doing that? It shouldn't be an expense. Because we spend much more money on other things, and that would be such a minimal amount, in my opinion. But a huge billboard with that featured player. I think we did something like that. You might have mentioned this, but with Carr, when that Heisman Trophy run was being, I think there was a little bit of that going on at the time.
And I know for the last 100 years, okay, it's plus Fresno B, it was really the Fresno State B. So they had two to three articles in every practice, every game, every day. It's Fresno State in that B. Well, we do know the Fresno B is dead and gone. So don't ever expect the Fresno B. It's over with. So Fresno State has to figure out plan B when it comes to marketing. Before, it was easy. Fresno B went to every household. 580,000 households had the B every day. You looked at Fresno State, they had it all. Those days are over. So plan B, they got to figure out marketing, make social media, call the Nick Anderson and the Pagmeer, figure out, get the younger people going. Trying to help.
It's all about the younger people.
It has to be. We got to grow like Helena Agri Enterprises. You got to grow that tree from the start up. I want to thank Carruthers High School and Anna Almedia was joining us today. Chris Woods from Emmanuel. Best of luck tomorrow, the Eagles. Thanks, Russ. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you next week at The Zone on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports beater.
And as Matt says, get in the game.